Well, as we do come to open up the Word of God today, you know, this week I've been really surprised by some news that Chloe McArdle actually broke the record, an Aussie girl, broke the record for the most amount of swims across the English Channel. She broke the record this week. You might have caught it in the news. A staggering 44 times she's crossed the English Channel. She's done it over a 12-year period. That's 440 hours of swimming in freezing cold water. It's 33 kilometres for one crossing, and that for me is just an incredible feat. When once is never enough, let's do it 44 times. That's just, seriously, take a moment. That's remarkable. In fact, I started to do a little bit more research in open water swimming, and I actually came across Florence Chadwick, who was the first woman to ever cross the English Channel. But when once is never enough, what is it with these marathon swimmers? She actually crossed the channel, she got to the other side and said, I'm just going to swim back. That's like 66 kilometres that she decided to swim. Florence Chadwick was born in 1918, and in fact, she decided to go more international, and she decided to swim from Catalina Island to the Californian coast, which is a distance of 42 kilometres. On the 4th of July, 1952, she started to swim, and 15 hours into the swim, she had her support boat, she had her family and her coach, but a fog had enveloped her vision. And so basically she was swimming blind. And after 15 hours, she felt defeated, and she basically gave up. And she went back into the boat. She was head in hands with her family and her staff, coaching staff around her. She felt defeated. She didn't make the swim. But then the fog began to lift. And as the fog lifted, they noticed that they were less than a kilometer from the shore, like 500 meters from the shore. If only she had that knowledge, I wonder if she actually would have given up. You know, in our difficult moments in life, you know, I think that we're tempted to give up as well. In our difficult moments when it's like a fog, it rolls over our soul and we don't know what direction to go in. We don't have knowledge. We don't know what to do. All points of reference are lost, and maybe the end is in reach, maybe it's not, but you know, as disciples of Jesus, we actually worship an all-knowing God who knows the beginning from the end. And in our most difficult times, we worship a God that can guide us through the thickest fog, the most challenging, darkest moment. God has all wisdom and knowledge to be able to guide us through what we can't get ourselves through. Because God is a power greater than ourselves. And so today, as we finish off this series, Holier Than Thou, we're looking at really an attribute of God's holiness that I really haven't done a lot of research on before. We're looking at the omniscience of God. Omni, it just means all. Science here is knowledge. In other words, God is all-knowing. And as I started to research the omniscience of God, that He is all-knowing, for me, it started to enlarge my understanding of God, but it also took me to a place where I can't fathom that this God knows the past and the present and the future. Nothing catches God off guard. And what it did for me is that it brought both comfort and conviction. And that's what we're going to see really thread throughout this message as we start to explore the omniscience of God. God is all-knowing. We'll see that it actually, on one hand, brings great comfort. But on the other hand, it also stirs up conviction. And it's in that conviction that I hope the Spirit will really speak to us because that's what needs to enact change so the Spirit can keep doing His work. Because you see, the Spirit of God wants to make you more and more and more like Jesus. So we've got to give the Spirit access to areas of our life. So it's in the conviction that I am trusting that the Spirit's going to do some work in our hearts today. I want to give you just a handful of theological reflections about the omniscience of God and how it actually brings comfort and conviction to our discipleship. You see, normally as I'm preparing for a sermon, we obviously do a whole lot of research, and then we take that research, and out of that research, we develop a structure, and then our sermon sort of fits within that structure. I was so moved by my research that I've actually left the sermon in the research phase. And what I'm really hopeful for is by the end of these handful of theological reflections, I hope that you can feel what I've experienced. And that is just, God is so much bigger than I can ever comprehend. So here's a handful of theological reflections. The first is this: God has perfect self-knowledge. Within the Godhead, the Father knows the Son, and the Son knows the Father perfectly. There is perfect unity within the Godhead of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Jesus actually uses this very statement in Matthew. Jesus says, "All things have been committed to me by my Father." All things. Jesus has all authority. So the Father has given Jesus all authority. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. We get invited into our one triune God, who is Father, Son, and Spirit, but God has perfect self-knowledge. In fact, Jesus goes on in John and says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father." You see, the Godhead has perfect self-knowledge. And in fact, this last verse is from Corinthians. The Apostle Paul says, "For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them?" That's true, isn't it? Who knows your innermost thoughts? Well, only you do. In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God knows the thoughts of God. We receive the Spirit within us. Isn't it amazing to think that we can actually know the thoughts of God? And God has perfect self-knowledge. And for me, that's incredible, because I don't even really know myself yet. And yet God has perfect self-knowledge. And that raises the comfort level, because God is sovereign over the universe. When we don't know the end from the beginning, when a fog rolls over our soul, we can trust that God sovereignly holds all things, because he has perfect self-knowledge. That alone just stretched my mind, and I'm trying to express what I really can't comprehend. Here's another one for us. You see, God doesn't just have perfect self-knowledge, God has perfect knowledge. Not only does God know himself perfectly, but God knows everything outside of himself. God knows all things accurately, as it really is. God never misreads a situation. So God has perfect self-knowledge, but God has knowledge, perfect knowledge, outside of himself. Sean read for us from Job chapter 37, and a portion of that. It's incredible. "Do you know how the clouds hang poised? Those wonders of him who has perfect knowledge." God has perfect knowledge. You know, sometimes if I've ever got the time, when the kids are playing in a park, you know, life's hard. And when you're a young dad, it's tiring. Tiring being a dad, it's tiring working. Sometimes the kids are just playing in the park, and I might just lay on the grass and just look up at the sky. Have you ever had those experiences where you just look at the sky and you just see all the clouds forming? Maybe you can make shapes in your mind about what those clouds look like. But it's incredible the way that the clouds form, how they're shaped, how they just disappear. And have you ever wondered how the clouds hang poised? Well, God does. He has perfect knowledge. What's his perfect knowledge? God perfectly knows how the universe operates, because, well, he made it. He has perfect knowledge. And also, we actually read in Psalm 147 that "Great is our God and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit." There is no limit to his understanding. You think about Florence Chadwick. She's swimming towards the California coast. A deep fog rolls over. She's exhausted after 15 hours of swimming. She's like 500 meters from the shore, but nobody knows that most important piece of knowledge. You see, a deep fog never, ever, ever rolls over God like a fog rolls over our soul. God has perfect knowledge outside of himself. There is no limit to his understanding. We can only really understand what we've learnt and what we can see in front of us. But God's knowledge has no limit. And this is what I really love. God loves to share his wisdom with you. God loves to share his knowledge with you. We could actually know the thoughts of God because we know through Christ, the Holy Spirit, who is in us. And here's where the comfort, I think, really starts to come for me, and hopefully for you, because we can actually trust God with the affairs of our life, with the events of our lives, with the challenges of our lives. God actually knows, this is what I'm convicted of, God actually knows the best answers to our prayers. Many of us are praying, and some really heavy prayers we would really love to see answered, and it's really hard to keep worshiping God with unanswered prayer in our life. We really need to trust God, and that's what I think the omniscience of God does. It raises the reality that we can trust in God with our unanswered prayers. And God knows the best outcome and the best answers for those prayers. So keep praying. Don't give up. The answer may just be around the corner or just a few moments away, or it might not. But we can trust that even though it makes no sense to us in the fog of life, God knows what the best answer to your prayer actually is, and we can find peace in that today. God also has eternal knowledge. Everything that God knows, he has known before the foundation of the world. Isaiah chapter 46 reads this way, "Remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is no one like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please." You see, if you know the end from the beginning, it must mean that you know everything that's going to happen in the middle, and that's where we live today. God has eternal knowledge. Before the foundation of this earth was set, God has seen it all. He knows it all. He knows how it's going to end. Therefore, he knows what's happening today, right now, because his knowledge is eternal. And this is what sets God apart definitely from us. And this brings great comfort, because when Jesus says in John 10:28, that if we believe in him, that nothing can actually snatch us out of God's hands, that means that his eternal knowledge means that he holds us in his hands by faith in Jesus Christ. Our destiny is assured in an all-knowing God's hands. God has immediate knowledge. God knows absolutely everything simultaneously. He knows everything immediately. God never needs to calculate anything. God doesn't need to calculate what the bottom line is. He knows what the bottom line is. No wonder Paul wrote in Romans chapter 11, "Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him?" God never forgets something and then just suddenly remembers. God never has to add to his knowledge. He knows everything immediately, perfectly, eternally. And in Isaiah 40, "Who can fathom the Spirit of the Lord or instruct the Lord as his counselor? Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him? And who taught him the right way? Who was it that taught him knowledge or showed him the path of understanding?" God has immediate knowledge. And again, I think this revolutionizes our prayer life so that when we come and say, "Our Father in heaven, holy, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread." As we are seeking for provision, as we are seeking God for forgiveness, God generously loves to share his immediate knowledge and wisdom with us. And it's in these moments that we do experience a power greater than ourselves. And God has exhaustive knowledge. God knows everything, right down to the smallest detail. God numbers and he names the stars, which are just incalculable to us. Not even a sparrow falls to the ground without God knowing it. God sees the actions of all people. He views the paths of all who walk on this earth and all the deeds that we accomplish. God sees it all because his knowledge is exhaustive. A.W. Tozer puts it this way. I think it's an incredible quote. "God knows all that can be known. God knows all causes, all thoughts, all mysteries, all enigmas," which is like curious people, "all feelings, all desires, every unuttered secret. Because God knows all things perfectly. He knows no thing better than any other thing, but all things equally well." I still, in these moments, just can't fathom the omniscience of God. This, for me, it stretches my mind beyond my understanding. I can't truly grasp the knowledge of God in this moment. Psalm 33 says, "From heaven, the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place, he watches all who live on the earth. He forms the hearts of all who considers everything they do." Wow, he watches all who live on the earth. Right now, wherever you are seated, God's eye is on you, especially for us who have faith in Jesus Christ. Look at this. "He determines the number of stars, and he calls them each by name," Psalm 147. And as I continue to just delve into the depths of God's word, the next verse for us. "Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account." This is where I think I move from comfort to conviction. So the omniscience of God, yeah, brings comfort. He's in control. But it also brings conviction because God sees all of our life. God's sight is on everything. And before God, we're going to give an account for our life. All our life will be laid bare before God. Now, we know that we are covered by the blood of Jesus. We are safe in God's hands. But we're still going to give an account before a holy, omniscient God who sees it all. And this is where I think the conviction starts to come in for me, because I start thinking about my life and the way I'm living my life and the fact that God sees my whole life, my motives. He knows when my ego is enlarged. He sees my selfishness. He sees the deeds done in darkness. Yes, he's a forgiving God, but he also sees and will hold my life to account. This is where conviction starts to come in when we consider the omniscience of God. And the last thing is God's knowledge is penetrating. God sees what no person can see. God sees through the outward facade. We're very good. We just put our kind of, we're all together mask on today, but God sees that mask. See, his knowledge is penetrating. He sees way beyond the facade that we put out to the world, and he sees our innermost thoughts. He sees the deeds done in darkness. God sees the depth of the human heart. He knows every inch of our soul better than ourselves. Psalm 139 reads this way, "You have searched me, Lord." Isn't this a great psalm? "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, God." See, God's knowledge is penetrating. He sees the depth of our soul. And I couldn't help but just, in this moment of my research, I just couldn't help but just fall before a holy God, because I was really thinking, when God digs into our soul, he sees the gold and the garbage and he still loves us. Consider that for a moment in your own life. God sees the gold and the garbage of your life and he still loves you and he accepts you and he wants to transform you to be more like Jesus Christ. We've got some goodness in us. There's some gold in us for sure, but there's also a lot of garbage. And God wants to deal with that garbage. And he wants his spirit to be in amidst what within that garbage of our soul, and he wants to change and transform us to free us more in Christ. He knows the worst of us, and he still loves us. You know when I sit and when I rise. You understand my thoughts from afar. Even from the heavenlies, through the Holy Spirit, God peers from the heavenly realms and he sees every inch of your life and he sees your innermost thoughts. Psalm 139, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. You think about it. Before you had one conscious thought, God intimately knew you. The omniscience of God is vastly beyond my comprehension. And all I've tried to do today is to try and allow you to experience what I've been feeling. Because when I survey the omniscience of God, I can't take it in. And this is what we've just kind of explored together today, that God has perfect self-knowledge. God has perfect knowledge. He knows everything outside of himself. God has eternal knowledge. He knows the beginning from the end. Therefore, he knows everything in the middle, and we can trust him with our lives, and we can trust him with unanswered prayer. And he has immediate knowledge. Nothing takes God by surprise. He has exhaustive knowledge. He knows the finest detail of our lives. And this really moved me and brings great conviction to my life. God's knowledge is penetrating. He sees the gold and the garbage and he loves us anyway, and that seriously undoes me. As I was walking, my dog and my boys were playing in the park last week, because I sort of prepared this. I gave some good research to this. There was no one in the park and the boys were off playing, and I just looked up and the clouds were incredible. They were forming, and just like what Job was saying, who knows how these clouds form? Oh, God does, who has unlimited knowledge. And I looked up and I just said, Lord, what do you want from me? I can't grasp you. What do you want from me? And this strong thought came to my mind, and I really feel like it's not just for me, it's really the application for today. I just heard so clearly in my mind, it was certainly, well, I believe the voice of God. I require faith, obedience, and a thirst for justice. And I have not been able to get that out of my mind. Yes, I know I'm saved only through the death and resurrection of Jesus. There's nothing I can do in my good deeds. But faith is dead without action. God requires faith. And what's faith? It's believing in his only Son, Jesus Christ. What's faith? It's believing just that God can. He can. He can. God requires obedience. Obedience, and that we would invite the Spirit into those garbage areas of our soul and seriously take ownership of our own discipleship and desire to grow more like Christ. And when we desire to grow more like Christ and we invite the Spirit in, that's where God does a supernatural work of change. But you and I have to invite the Spirit into the garbage areas of our soul. God requires obedience, and he requires a thirst for justice, that we would stand with the poor and the brokenhearted and the bullied and the oppressed, and we would be a river of blessing with our time, talent, and treasures and everything that God's put at our disposal to help another. God requires faith, obedience, and a thirst for justice. And I believe that is an amazing response to our Holier Than Thou series. God is holier than us. We have seen that God is omnipotent. He's all powerful. We've seen that God is omnipresent. He is near and here. And we've seen today that God is omniscient, that He knows all, and He still loves us. What does God require of us today? Faith, obedience, and a thirst for justice. I believe that was a word from God for us. And those who have ears to hear, let them hear. And allow the Spirit to set that in your soul. Let's be men and women of faith. Let's obey our Jesus and His teachings. And let's stand with the broken. And the kingdom of God will come in our lives and in our world. Let me pray. Our Father God Almighty, we thank You so much that we can run to You with freedom and confidence. You are a good God and You are all powerful. And today we've seen that You are all knowing. I thank You that You see the gold and the garbage of our soul and You love us anyway. You are a radical God who loves to share His wisdom with us. Father, when the fog comes over our soul, I thank You that we can seek You out for guidance. We can seek You out for knowledge and wisdom and insight. So Lord, as we seek You, I thank You that You are easily found. And when we knock, You say the door will be open and that You, Lord Jesus, will bless us with all the blessings from heaven to be able to thrive and to experience a rich freedom in Christ in this life. So Father, help us to go from here to be men and women of faith and obedience to You, Jesus, and may we thirst just for justice in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.